Hey there, this is Mike Tramp here. You know him from White Lion, but I've also done 11 solo albums. You're listening to Cobra and Fire, and rock and roll is not dead.
This call is now being recorded.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for calling me.
No problem. So what I'd like to do today is to talk about your current album and then kind of hit on a couple milestones of your career. Would that be okay?
Always.
All right. So, yeah, so your latest album is called Stray from the Flock. Could you kind of explain that title?
Yeah, I mean, I might as well have called the first album in 97 that, you know, because, I mean, after White Lion and the other band I had, Freak of Nature, when I went solo, it was very important that my solo career stood by itself and was not a continuation of either band's. And it was also clear to me that a lot of other bands were kind of clinging to this style of rock and roll, or maybe even more the image of the 80s, even though it was dying out and stuff like that. To me, it was more about staying true to myself and returning back home to who I am as a songwriter, how I am as a solo artist and stuff like that. And ever since the first album and now up until the album that I find it called Stray from the Flock, that has been my intention of standing by myself, making it very clear to the rock and roll fans that when they reach for Mike Tramp in their CD, you know, on their CD shelf and stuff like that, or whatever they have their CDs or albums or vinyls or whatever, you're going to get Mike Tramp. You're not going to get the things he was affiliated with.
No, I definitely get that from the new album. And, by the way, the production on it is excellent.
By now, I think I should have, you know, it down. But the biggest point of this is that when I go into something, I am crystal clear in my head that there is not any form of experimentation to this. It is simply an extension of my Tramp, and each album of now the 11 solo albums have been and is a moment, or let's just say a 2-year period caught of my Tramp's life and put in there. So the listener or the fan that's collecting all these albums, I'm following that journey. And on the last 4 albums, it has been the nomadic motorcycle rider that is going down the endless highway, and you're following his life in that way. And I, you know, even though I hadn't necessarily created it that way, it just feels natural to me that that is what is happening. And I'm very confident and very comfortable with with telling these stories about my life, where I am in my personal life, my family, my journey, my misery, my happiness, my pain, my anger, my view of the world, my dissatisfaction with governments, et cetera, et cetera. This is a journey, and the greatest reward come that when after the show I meet the fans and they reflect that this album is about their life.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you've never stopped recording from and putting out music from day one. So what two songs would you recommend kind of as gateway drugs for somebody to check out first to convince them to get the album?
Well, okay. I mean, I would definitely say, let's start with the first single, which is Dead End Ride, which we probably would have 1,000,000% My Tramp DNA in. This is, you cannot get closer to what My Tramp is in that song. And at the same time, you can then jump over to No Closure, which is as deep as My Tramp can go in revealing personal issues, subjects in his life.
Okay, excellent. And the one that was kind of a standout for me too was No End to War. I mean, you start off the album with
it's not. I don't think there's a lot of people from my period of time, my comrades, my competition from the '80s, that would open an album with an 8.5 minute, epic.
Right.
That also makes strong statements. I am, and listen. To the listener, I'm not out there to like back on anyone, but I do feel that once again, I stand very, very much on my own when it comes to lyrics and subjects that I write about compared to anyone else that has continued of the 80s, where most of the artists are sort of continuing with the same thing they did in 88. So No End to War, like some people say, it's almost like it's a continuation of When the Children Cry. Well,
yeah.
not musically, not
right.
Musically, but the point is that in 1985, when I sat in New York and I wrote When the Children Cry, Reagan was the president, the Cold War was going on, there was a wall through Berlin, Germany, et cetera, et cetera. America was very strong. There were nobody going around, shaming other people from wearing certain sort of items that represents a political stand or something. People were incredibly free in many ways. Now we are in 2019, and When the Children Cry is even more current than it was in 85. Hence, here I come with No End to War, that the prophecy, so I'm taking big words here, the prophecy I made at that time, is has just come true. There is no end to war, and we're giving our children a garbage dump to live in.
Yeah, and I believe it. I don't remember the exact lyric, but you pretty much name check When the Children Cry in there. If I'm not correct, I mean, if I am correct, yes.
Well,
a reference to it.
And yeah, so a reference. Children will always represent the birth of something, in many ways, as a metaphor. And when it gets down to the children, you have reached the bottom of everything. That, one thing is men on the battlefield, hacking it out in the old days when the Vikings invaded England and they were fighting the Saxons. Here came the men with the axes and they came on the swords. There were no children involved. Now dictators in the Middle East are going in and dropping gas bombs and chemicals into neighborhoods where families are living. That's the warfare of modern day.
Yes. So this is going to be kind of an awkward transition from that. But
there's nothing awkward in rock and roll anymore.
All right, good. What's kind of an expectation of what is successful now as far as streams or downloads or things like that? What are you looking for exactly?
Well, people always talking about statistics in everything. everything. I mean, everything is just a statistic. Everything is about how many trophies you got on your shelf, how many platinum records. The true success is seeing your final product and up being 100% what you set out for it to be. The second success is the praise from the fans. The third, or maybe the fourth, is when the press likes it. But the music I do for myself, it is a self-expression of my feelings. It's my diary. It's you know, I throw it out in the opening, and when a lot of fans, I don't even want to call them fans anymore. I think it's almost derogatory. I think they're friends of music. You know, when they find themselves and their life in my songs, it is just makes it even more real, because I sing about real things.
Very cool. Okay, so now we're going to jump back in time a little bit, because you have a very interesting, varied career, and you know, how do you make that leap from having a pretty much the balls to go from, you know, Denmark to the U.S. to pursue a musical career? How do you make that leap?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably, you know, the no fear in that way. I mean, you know, I mean, you sometimes you just follow what maybe, you know, seems to be like a natural thing to do. I mean, you know, I mean, I hadn't planned ever on entering into the music world. I had an acoustic guitar in my house. My mom had given me and my two brothers. We sat around and strummed around on some Dylan songs and some folk music, late 60s, early 70s. When suddenly I got, you know, an offer or a door to go, you know, and do an audition for a band that were 10 years older than me. I'm 15 and a half years old. I'm still in school. And I asked my mom if it's okay that I drop out of school and join a band. I mean, that's a movie right there. I think my mom looked at our situation. You know, we come from very little, and said, well, you know, it's one less plate on the table. And she crossed her fingers, and you know, 42 years later on, here I am, and, you know, I don't owe anybody anything. I've never taken a bank loan, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's one of those things, you know, I come to the realization of choosing a simple, doable life style, but at the same time, I make no compromise on my music. I will not compromise even an inch.
But what age were you when you moved to the U.S. to pursue music?
Yeah, I'd already moved from Denmark to Spain when I was 18, and I lived in Spain in 3 years. And in 82, when I came to America, I was 21 years old.
Okay.
And I never returned back home.
Yeah.
You know, and I was there for the next 22 years until one day I had a conversation with my wife at that time and our 6-year-old son, and we decided to do an even bigger jump. So we jumped from Lake Tahoe or Nevada to Tasmania, Australia. For those who have the time to look at a map, that is the last final island on Earth before you hit the South Pole.
All right, then. So, you know, you move to the U.S., you're pursuing your music career, and the first, if I'm not mistaken, the first name, I don't know if it was the complete final lineup for the White Lion, but it was called the Danish Lions. Is that accurate?
It wasn't called the Danish Lion. It's just that CD, that bootleg CD that exists of the last recording I did with my Danish guys that had come over to America in 82. The band was called Lion, but that's really just to separate that from, you know, to put it kind of like, you know, sort of in the right place in the library. And that was the band that played in the Brooklyn Rock Club L'Amour in 1982, the same night that a band called Dreamer played there, who had a guitar player called Vito Brada. this is where I met Vito. This is where I realized that he was worlds ahead of the guitar players I was playing with, and that was the guy I needed to play with to fulfill my musical vision. And,
sure.
And only 3 months later, after we had returned to Denmark, I returned to the USA, and I contacted Vito the same night I arrived, and the next day we got together and we started White Lion.
Yeah, and I was asking about that too. So when you pick the name White Lion, and they weren't as big as all you guys kind of hit at the same time, but the whole we make a joke about it. A lot of bands currently always have black in their name. You know, Black Label Society, Blackstone Cherry, et cetera. It seems like every other band has that. Now, when you came up with the name, kind of White Lion, White Snake, and Great White kind of hit to the next level all at the same time. Was that, you know, I guess my question is, was there any concern?
My band was called Lion, and Vito and I had continued with that name. We found out there was a band in California called Lion, and so we got together, and everybody was sitting there trying to come up with names, and Vito came up with White Lion, and I hated the name. I hated the name so bad. I thought it was horrible.
Okay.
Even though I had come up with Lion, which was also just really just a like a substitute until I found the right name. But we stuck with the name, and the name had no meaning. I mean, at the same time, there was actually another band in New York called White Tiger. And
right.
You know, we were not aware of Great White, and we didn't even think about White Snake at that time. You know, at the time of us picking White Lion, White Snake was still a British rock and blues band that had
right.
not been made into an 80s band. They were a great English rock band, a continuation of Deep Purple, so they were not even something we were thinking and listening to at that time. So there was no meaning behind it except for Vito said White Lion, and we stuck with the name, and the rest is just history.
Gotcha. And this is something I have seen this movie multiple times, but how is the connection
yeah.
with producer and management that gets you into the money pit?
Well, it's just a period of time in 85, in the summer of 85, and we don't really have a lot of gigs, and, you know, we're not doing a lot, and then suddenly they come up with this offer that there's the movie, you know, that's being shot in New York, and they need a rock band for a scene and stuff like that, and we end up going down there, and, you know, it turns out that we're supposed to be part of this video shoot that is going wrong, and you know, hence the title of Money Pit, that the manager's throwing money away, you know.
Right.
And we're supposed to be dressed up as gigantic flies in this big Venus flytrap stage, and everything goes wrong. And it also goes wrong when we're doing the scene that the director scraps that whole scene and says, you guys have your own clothes and stuff like that. And says, yeah, we got in the back, and we just end up dressing up as White Lion, and then we go up and do it. You know, the rest is history.
No, it's just funny to see you guys in the background with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it is very funny. It's very funny.
So, but yeah, so, you know, things continue on, and I recall a time in the early 2000s where I lived in Valparaiso, Indiana. I remember seeing an ad. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go, but I saw Tramps, White Lion. And, you know, it just seems interesting that throughout that, you're kind of, you have the name, you couldn't use the name, but yet there's not, in a lot of times it's usually like, there's two LA Guns, or there's two, you know, versions of a band there, but or Queenstrike, but there was never a competing one. So what was that kind of, I guess, the reason to stop?
Well, I mean,
it, or,
first of all, I have gone out, and I have both apologized, and I've also said with much regret, this was something that I shouldn't have done. I did not want to do White Lion again. When I broke up White Lion in 91, I was done with that thing. And the four albums that the band has made is the history of that band. This was a week, it was a time in, you know, at a moment in time where I felt to weakness. And thought that this was actually going to be a bigger financial success, and people say, oh, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I went out there, and very, very quickly I realized that it was something that I didn't want to do because I started changing the sound of the band. I actually started making White Lion sounding more like UFO or something, like with a big keyboard, Hammond B3 or stuff like that. And later on, so it's just with much regret, and you know, obviously Vito came out and says, I don't want anybody, you know, besides us to be White Lion. I don't want to turn on YouTube and see a clip saying White Lion live in Arkansas and then see another guitar player. Mike Tramp and Vito Bratta was White Lion, and that's the way I want to see it. And it took me a lot of years to realize that and respect him and understand that. And over the last couple of years, he and I speak once a month, and we're really good terms, and we are happy, and we know that White Lion will never happen again. The memories are on those four albums, and that is the way it will be till the end of time.
Final question here. Do you want to talk about Freak of Nature?
Well, I can take the final word. The thing is, life goes on. And there are a lot of artists out there that want to dwell in the past and want to try to keep the past with them today. It is simply possible. Most of us don't look the same way we did in 1988. It's 30 years ago. You know, some people actually decide to change. Some people actually decide to move on with their life and things like that. Musically, I followed what was in my heart. And when Mike Tramp went solo, he went solo, and this is how Mike Tramp sounds when he writes the songs by himself and when he stands on his own two feet. And now 11 solo albums later on, it is as crystal clear as anything of who Mike Tramp is and an artist, and he will remain there.
Very cool. Well, how about we play us out with a track from Stray from the Flock? What would you like us to play?
Well, I mean, if you have the time, play No End to War, but I would be happy if you played Dead End Ride.
Okay. I will make that decision last minute. They're both excellent songs, but thank you, Mike. I know you've got an interview coming up in just a few minutes, and wish you all the success on the tour.
I appreciate all the support I get from you guys, and I appreciate all the support and praise I get from the rock and roll fans in the big country of America. Thank you so very much.
Before you jump off, can you do a quick ID, if you would mind? Okay. Just basically, this is Mike Tramp. You're listening to Cobras and Fire, Rock is Not Dead. That's our tagline.
Cobalt and Fire.
No. That's pretty funny. But Cobras, like the snakes, Cobras and Fire.
A cobra and Fire.
Yeah, Cobra and Fire, Rock is Not Dead. That's all I need, please.
Hey there, this is Mike Tramp here. You know him from White Lion, but I've also done 11 solo albums. You're listening to Cobra and Fire, and Rock and Roll is Not Dead.
That is perfect. Thank you very much for your time, Mike.
You got
Mike,
it, brother.
And, all right.
Thank you, brother.
Now.
It's a one-way ticket. There is no returning home. There is no solution. You are really knocking on your door.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.